The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I haven't had a chance to talk to you all since, I believe, November of last year. A little bit's gone on since now and then. I have my good friend Jill Fueling here in the studio with me. She is a member of the Kootenai tribe and a good friend of mine. And as I like to tease her, I don't know, you know, I'm not supposed to say native, but a aboriginal, I say got here first, because they did. They got here before everybody else. So I don't think that's too bad to say. She's going to tell us a little bit why she's in town, besides she likes hanging out with me, which, I mean, that's kind of a given. In this first little segment, I got to share something that really bothered me that I saw on 60 Minutes, and I urge you all to watch it because it's scary. There's a deep sea mining treaty that the United States will not sign on to. There's a, I don't know how many senators are objecting to it, because their objection is, well, we can do that anyway. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. Well, that may be. Problem is, the people who will do that for us, our companies, will not start until that treaty is signed. So you have a bunch of Republicans that are, quote, all about business, who are not listening to the business people, who are saying, we're not going to do any of this until you sign that treaty. So right now, China is getting a huge leg up on us for all these rare earth elements. And these things are crucial for defense primarily, and pretty much everything. And so if China gets that market cornered and anybody else does, we're going to be at the whim of all these people because of a bunch of stupid senators. So this is not a right-wing, left-wing issue. This is just flat dumb. So I urge you to jump online, Google, say, what senators are objecting to the deep sea bed mining treaty? Find out who they are and get a hold of them and tell them that they're being really, really stupid. The other thing that is driving me nuts lately is this attack on Twitter for restricting free speech rights. I mean, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's the same as saying a newspaper has to let anybody print anything they want to say anytime they want. That is, a newspaper's a private organization. Twitter's a private organization. So you can't say that somehow you're violating somebody. The only person who can violate your First Amendment rights is a governmental entity, period. And that's the only person who can do that. Twitter can't do that. TikTok can't do that. None of these other things can do that. And so when guys like Jim Jordan are wasting your time on this, all they're doing is grandstanding, saying they want their bohunk piece of, we're on the radio, crap, ex-president, to get reelected again. And speaking of him, as long as we're on that topic, I haven't got to vent in a while. My wife won't listen to it anymore. How about this nonsense about the border? So you think Trump, why do you support him? I know a lot of you are because, oh, he's hard on the border. He's going to control it. No, no. The Republicans had come to an agreement with the Democrats as to a border deal as part of a funding package. And they were on board until Trump said, no, don't do it. And you know why he said, no, don't do it? Because he wants the border to continue to be a train wreck so he can continue to say he'll be your savior. So he has no interest in fixing the border. He has an interest in getting elected. And nothing else. So if you don't believe me, look it up. I mean, this is not me just chirping here. This is a matter of record. And, you know, everybody was on board. And then he said, no, 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 don't do it. And then everybody jumped off. And it was going to involve hiring a whole bunch more people so we could vet these people. I mean, everybody agrees we need immigrants. We're too big and there's too many of us to not have more people to do stuff. So, you know, why he would object to it? Only because he wants it to be a big train wreck when it's election time. He doesn't care about any of that. He cares about getting elected. And with that, we're coming up to our first break. And so this is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Again, you can email me at commonlaw7b@gmail.com if you have any questions. If somebody finally did, I didn't check first. So I apologize, and I'll look at my email on this break.
Elevate your festival at Sandpoint experience this summer. Become a sponsor today. With sponsorships starting at just $2,000, you'll receive exclusive sponsor tickets to every performance at the Festival at Sandpoint 2024 Summer Series. That's not all. Your Festival at Sandpoint sponsorship ensures early admission through the sponsor gate and reserved seating access. Act now. Sponsorships are selling fast. Visit festivalatsandpoint.com to learn more about becoming a sponsor today.
Hi, this is Chad Young from the EasyHomeBuyer.com, the guy with all those annoying ads. I'm here to tell you that when homes aren't selling, I am still buying homes. If you're wondering if you can still get a fair cash offer and close in a week, well, let me tell you, yes, you Spokane. Call me today for your fair cash offer at 208-877-6000. We've helped hundreds of sellers in the area sell in as little as 1 week with no commissions or fees. We are the highest rated cash home buying company in our area because we guarantee a closing. I'm not green bluffing you. We are a local family owned company that buys houses, vacant land, and apartments. Get your free cash offer today by visiting us online at theeasyhomebuyer.com or call us at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
Sandpoint Superdrug is happy to introduce their brand new website and logo. Did you know Sandpoint Superdrug is home to an Ace Hardware Center, a home and gifts department, a nutritional center offering full clinical services, and hands down, the best pharmacy in town? Their knowledgeable, friendly, and helpful staff is standing by ready to help you. It's what makes them different. They take the time to help their customers personally. For more than 50 years, Sandpoint Superdrug is your one-stop place to shop.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from date of purchase, but is waived if paid within promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's time to replace. And right now, you can get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. Plus, with our March 31-day sales event, you can save $377 off every window and $777 off every door when you buy four or more units. Just text OWN to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for no dollars down, no monthly payments, and no interest for a year. That's right, you don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text OWN to 200-300 to save $377 off every window and $777 off every door when you buy four or more units. Hurry, this incredible 31-day sales offer is only in March. Text OWN to 200-300. Text the word OWN to 200-300. OWN to 200-300.
Keep up to date on everything we're doing at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I am here with my good friend, Jill Fueling, who is a member of the Kootenai tribe, and she's been living in Sandpoint for the last few months. But they normally live in Oregon, and her daughter came to Sandpoint, and she'd been here before, obviously, but decided that she wanted to graduate from Sandpoint High, which I understand. But so, Jill, do tell us, what do you do in Oregon when you're not in Sandpoint?
I grow cannabis.
You do?
I do.
Well, how come the dirty hippie alarms didn't go off when you walked in? I don't understand.
They must not be working today. I snuck in.
Well, and besides that, though, you have another occupation. What's that?
Yes, I actually am an archaeologist. I went to the University of Alaska Anchorage and got a Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology, and I went to the Oregon State University and got a Master's in Applied Anthropology. So while I work as an archaeologist, I'm actually trained in both cultural anthropology and archaeology.
Tell me about one of your other majors, because I just think it's a minor, it might be. I can't remember. What's that?
Yeah, well, I am Oregon State University's first graduate of queer studies.
I thought all studies were kind of queer.
This one definitely was.
Well, what does that entail?
Well, it's looking through the world through a queer lens. Queerness is a social construct. It's found all through nature. Animals are queer. Mallard ducks and mountain goats in particular are quite known to form same-sex couples and raise children together.
So they're like the ancient Greeks, kind of.
Exactly, yeah. It's a natural thing, and just in the past few hundred years, the culture that you and I share came up with the idea of queerness and decided to basically make it a thing and then frame it as basically not good. And so it forced a lot of people into what we would call the closet, hidden away from normal life. And queer theory really breaks down queerness just as a social construct, going underground and then reemerging to be part of our society again, a lot like cannabis.
Now, what I always think about bothers me, did you ever see The Imitation Game, that movie about, I think Edward Turing was his name, Englishman?
I have not, but I know I should.
Well, he was queer, for lack of a better term, and he invented the first real computer that cracked the Enigma code that the Germans were using, which was obviously a huge deal. And then after the war, being gay, is, if I can still use that word.
Use gay, yes.
I can, okay. So we'll get into that in a second. I get confused. The English government had him on some drug to try to get rid of it, and it basically caused him to commit suicide. Now, can you imagine how different the world might be if he wouldn't have committed suicide? And I think it was 52 or something, the guy who invented the first computer. And so we can't deal with what he is, and so we drug him, he kills himself, and probably set us back, I'm guessing, 20 years. I don't doubt it. Now, back to the word queer. Does that have a definition, or is it basically used to encompass all these other things below? I hear LBTGQ, and I know the Q is for not for quarter. It's for queer. So that leads me to believe that queer doesn't encompass those. So how do you sort that out?
So queerness, again, like is a concept. So you have the idea of normality and normalness, which for, you know, the world we live in, heteronormativity, heterosexuality. Queerness is outside of normality. And so it's the idea of, you know, the word queer, but applied to people. And the whole, I guess you could say, like, lived experience of people who identify as non-heterosexual, how they experience the world, the same world we live in, but they're viewed as outside of normal. And so that's really what, like, queerness is.
So it kind of is more of an overarching umbrella-type term.
Yes.
So if you're not one of the first four letters in that string, maybe you're just asexual entirely.
Which is also a thing.
Yeah. So really, if you're just really weird, then you're queer.
No.
I was going to say, because if that's the case, you are queerer than a $3 bill.
Well, actually, while I don't identify as queer, in queer theory, you could say that, you know, even like heterosexuality can be queered. So as like a native woman.
You mean like Melania and Donald Trump? That seems pretty
that's
queer.
A different kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Different. But so like for, you know, Native women, we are at a much greater risk of rape, sexual violence, intimate partner violence. And that really goes back to as sexual beings in the world we live in, the culture we live in, Native women are seen as kind of playthings, toys. Halloween, you can be the sexy Pocahontas. Pocahontas is actually a great example of like queered sexuality. So look at the Disney films, you know, pretty, if you were to go back and compare maybe, Belle or Snow White with Pocahontas, you'll see Pocahontas is overtly sexualized, whereas the, white cartoon characters are not. And so that is how like, my sexuality as a Native woman is queered. First and foremost, I'm seen as a sex object who can be used to commit non-normal sexual acts on, as opposed to, like, say, like a white lady who, you know, we often think of as chaste, motherly. You know, Native women, we don't get that privilege.
You don't get that, huh? Tell me, you surely have a theory on, because I just don't understand. I mean, I can, like Melania and Donald, I don't want to think of those two going at it at all. That's about the grossest thing I could think of on the planet. And they're heterosexual, I suppose. I don't know. So, I mean, what do you think it is that causes all these people to just go some completely ballistic about this topic? I mean, why do they care? Is it just simply they think that if we don't sweep it under the rug and ignore it, that all of our kids are going to turn into queers? I mean, is that, I mean, what's your theory on it? That's my theory. It's just that it's, you know, the usual Republican scare tactic, BS. These people are trying to indoctrinate our children. And I don't know about you, but the idea of a man and a man together makes zero sense to me, right? Because that's just not how I'm wired. And I don't think you could probably change that. And so the idea that somebody can be wired one way and then switched, which is, you know, pray the gay away, is just absurd. So what's your theory on what everybody's got up their backside on this one?
Well, I guess I would have to say fear of the unknown, fear of the unfamiliar, or oftentimes fear of what you do know and know is detrimental to your social standing. So queerness, you know, it natural was around forever. And then when European nobles came up with the idea of land inheritance and the importance of the passing on of land and titles to male heirs, all of a sudden everyone was very concerned with the family and making sure that men and women got together and had male children so that the property could be preserved. And so to me, a lot of that really boils down to property.
So kind of like the opposite of the Catholic Church. We don't want these priests to get married because we don't want them giving away their stuff. And incidentally, I thought that rule about only male heirs inheriting was not a bad one. I don't know why we got rid of that. I think my sister might disagree. Well, we're coming up pretty close to our first break. I think we got about a minute and a half. Anything disturbing in the newspapers you've been seeing today?
Oh, gosh.
Lately? I mean, obviously, no. I'm good. Well, what do you read? Well, I don't.
Well, if I had to pick one, I would have to say that shame on Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Oh, yeah. Well, doesn't surprise anybody. I mean, I don't know if you all know what we're talking about. Some members of what team were they with?
Utah. I believe Utah
that
State.
They had some people who were not white Anglo-Saxon Protestants on their team.
Women.
And they had the gall to bring him into Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And then they left the resort because they were getting harassed too much by the people there. I mean, good for us. That looks so good. I'm sure that nobody... Actually, you know what will happen now? A whole bunch more people will move to Coeur d'Alene from Southern California. Oh, you guys got it nailed there, I tell you what.
I hope they don't smoke weed because they're going to miss it.
They probably will. All right, well, now we're close enough to our first break. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I'm at commonlaw7@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Sponsored by Age of Learning.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
The Hydra Steakhouse opens 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Come on in for nightly specials, famous prime rib, seafood, chicken, and pasta dinners. Or swing into the lounge with a full bar, try a tasty appetizer, and check out the house-made signature cocktails, beer, and wine.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
There's only one place you want to be right now, and that's at Larson's Blue Jean Blowout Sale. That's right, it's Larson's 84th anniversary sale going on now. Draw an Easter egg from the basket and get 15 to 25% off any jeans, dungarees, or work pants, including brand names by Carhartt, Levi, Wrangler, Riggs, Key, Dickies, and more. Now is the time to save during Larson's Blue Jean Blowout at 84th anniversary sale. But hurry, this sale ends Saturday. Larson's in downtown Sandpoint at Bonner's Ferry. Sale price is limited to two per customer.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance, because giving you options is the right thing to do.
Oh, you mean like when I let someone with less groceries go ahead in line? Sure, there's a part of me that thinks, if you only need three things, maybe go to a convenience store next time. And now they're sifting through coupons and my frozen foods are about to be not frozen.
But still, it's the right thing to do. So compare rates with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
John, what are you doing? Get in my car. Why are you walking to work?
Thanks, man. It's these insanely high gas prices. They are draining my bank account. I can't afford to drive anymore.
Dude, don't walk. Just do what I do, because I never pay full price for gas anymore. I use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait, you're telling me you get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make a around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code DOLLAR for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code DOLLAR. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code DOLLAR for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code DOLLAR.
KSPT KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I'm sitting here with my good friend, Jill Fueling. We've been talking about the devil's lettuce and sex today. Before I get back to that, though, I was going to say something, and now I can't remember what it was. Oh, I thought I needed to share with y'all my latest story of why you stay away from courtrooms and why you hire lawyers before you do things. We went to court on a case, construction defects, what we're saying. The guy screwed up the house. He's saying he still owed $23,000. And so when we get to trial, I realize he hasn't submitted any of his timesheets or any materials bills. So how do you prove what you're owed, right? Well, if it's a bid, that's not a problem, right? If it's a, you know, everybody knows what a bid is. Bid is, I'm going to do it for X, and if I happen to pull up the floor and there's a whole bunch of rotting floor joists, then I guess I'm just going to eat it. Most smart contractors know better than that, and they say, if that happens, then I'm on a time and materials. Here's what I charge you for time, and here's what I charge you for the materials. Well, in this case, we get to trial, and this contractor's on the stand, and I say, his own lawyer elicits that this bid is just an estimate. His own client's like, no, man, it's an estimate. It says it right on there. So I go through it with this guy a number of times. I'm like, so if you would have found something unexpected, you would have just eaten that? Oh, no. Well, okay, so then you were working on a time and materials basis. Yes, I was. Okay, well, that means we win on that issue because we don't have any. He was paid $350,000, and he's claiming to be still owed money. Well, we don't know what his time or materials were, so how do we know if we didn't already pay him enough? No idea. You know what the court said? Even though I had him on the record a number of times saying this is a time and materials contract, the court said, clearly this is a bid contract. I mean, that's the kind of nonsense that happens in a courtroom. And now we're going to go up on appeal. My client's going to have to secure a bond so they don't have to pay the judgment. All this nonsense goes on. That is why you stay out of court. I mean, that is just crazy. When I'm not talking about what my client said, I'm talking about what he said, the opposing party. He said it's a time and materials contract. How can the court possibly say it's not? We didn't say it wasn't. So anyway, there's your latest stay out of courtroom. Now we're going to get back to what we were talking about. The pronoun thing. Can you help me understand this pronoun thing as it relates to queer studies? For those of you, who pronouns are like he or she, for all the radio land who wonder what we're talking about.
Yes, and they,
oh,
them.
They is one? Them is one too?
Yes.
Oh, I never studied
I'm not sure if anybody says Z anymore.
You know, that's how I know those college entrance exams are a bunch of nonsense. I think I got all the way through college with about a, or high school with about a D average in English. I never did it. And then I passed out of the first semester of English because I did so good on the exam. I'm just like, oh, okay, well, this makes a lot of sense. Anyway, go back to your pronoun discussion. I'm like, come on.
I'm trying to think here.
Well, I know he and she. I got those two.
Yes, you got he and she, and you also have they. So
the
they
is the confusing one.
It's confusing if
you're not
willing to just evolve and open your mind and be like, oh, okay, I learned something new. Because the reality is.
Is my nose bleeding?
Because the reality is, again, you know, just like queerness is a social construct, so is gender. You know, maybe I should define social construct first, because I forget sometimes the way I talk is, you know, a little much sometimes.
Social construct.
Social construct. It means what, you know, people get together in a society and then they come up with ideas. And that's basically what a social construct is. And so gender as a social construct is, okay, we have men and we have women. But, you know, again, we're a biologic species, you know, that is outside of any one particular culture, you know, like just like frogs, let's see, lots of amphibians.
Don't frogs, if there's no females around, will actually convert themselves?
They can switch genders. There's actually a shark. And
they should pass a law that makes it illegal for the frog people to do gender affirming identity. Yeah, you're gonna infiltrate all our frogs.
Well, exactly. And that's kind of the danger of going down these roads is, you know, where do we start? Where do we end? Because eventually you're going to come around back to yourself. And that's what I don't think people understand. You keep saying, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. Eventually you're going to bump up against what you do yourself.
Somebody's going to say, no, you can't do that anymore.
Exactly. So, you know, so we have this idea, you know, as humans that you're either a man or a woman. But, you know, the reality is sometimes what's down there, it's hard to tell what's what.
You mean like Australia?
Yeah. Oh.
Down under.
Yeah. So not to mention, we also assign like gender roles. And as we've seen, you know, women and men can do a lot of the same things. It's not a body size thing. There's a lot of, you know, large women, small men. And so that's kind of the idea about gender. And so they is basically outside of he or she. Or if you feel like, you know, you have inside of you what we would consider like male characteristics and female characteristics, you know, oftentimes people refer to themselves as they. So this is going to be crazy, but you know, when you say I'm a man, that's just like saying I'm a they. And I don't think people understand that.
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way. I can tell you this though, that I mean, my love for kitchen appliances, I'm going to start going with I'm a they, because, I mean, according to that, all the women love kitchen stuff, right? So that must make me a they.
You must have watched the Republican response to the State of the Union address.
Oh, my God. What? What were they thinking?
I mean, women like kitchens.
Oh, man. And I saw her dishwasher. She does not have the same dishwasher I have. I mean, she just has some cheap little thing.
Exactly.
I mean, if she's going to get chained up in the kitchen, I'd demand a much better dishwasher.
I would too if I was her.
Do you think they have like little soft flexi cuffs for their feet and chain them to the stove? Or they probably have those. Got to have those retractable leashes. Otherwise, all they're going to be able to do is cook.
The crazy thing is that lady has a job that, you know, in our society is most often occupied by men. So go figure.
Yeah, and I'm sure, given what she does, she has a ton of time to play Susie Homemaker. I mean, you know our house. We have defined rules around there. I pretty much do what I'm everything is pretty much.
Exactly.
That's all right, because I have a very flexible job and my wife has a very inflexible job, and I'm happy to do it myself.
Exactly. So you're fluid.
Yeah, I'm fluid.
I got, just like gender.
Yeah, and I got fluid on my knee from the last time I fell down the steps, so too. So what, any solution to this? I mean, any way to bring these people that are perseverating constantly on this issue rather than thinking about things like, why do the Republicans keep giving tax breaks to the rich and I'm so poor I can't afford my rent?
I'd have to say, you know, it's time to open your mind, you know. It's kind of like science, you know, science has infinite possibilities.
Science.
Just open your mind. Open your mind to infinite possibilities. Whether you believe in science, you believe in creation, they both kind of are under that premise of infinite possibilities. So I say embrace whatever comes your way because, you know, you'll probably learn something new.
Well, I've always said that I don't care what side of the fence you are, creationism or, you know, Big Bang. Either one of those stories is pretty far-fetched. So, I mean, I don't care which one you believe. Oh, a little teeny tiny ball of mass, infinitely small, blew up into all of this. That's not weird. That's pretty strange. And again, let's back up a step. Where'd the ball of mass come from? Well, it was just there. Oh, okay. Anything that it just is a matter of faith. Because everything else is because. You know, I know why I'm here. I know why you're here because I had to show up. It's my job and you had to help me.
So that's interesting that you bring that up because it actually makes me think of, you know, since we're talking about queer theory and queerness, the space you're describing, whether it's creationism or Big Bang theory science, you know, there was a space of something and a space of nothing. And then out of those two spaces, the world we live in came to be. In queer theory, there is this idea that, you know, you have gender, you have heteronormativity, and inside between those two, there is this other space, and that's where queerness is. So in a lot of ways, you know, maybe creation itself is queer.
Oh, that's going to go over like a pork sandwich at a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's why people need anthropologists.
Okay, well, we're signing off now, folks. I can tell you where the little ball of mass came from, because space-time fabric is like a nylon. The bigger the ball, the more it pulls down on the nylon. And that is so things near that depression fall towards it. That's gravity. Well, when you have a black hole, it's pulling all of this mass and compressing it into this point, so it's pulling down on the nylon. Because it's extremely heavy, it gets to the point where the nylon breaks. And then all that mass is released from that thing that's been holding it, the black hole, all constricted down, and boom! Now you've got another dimension. And so, I mean, that's been my theory on the Yeti Sasquatch forever, is they are trans-dimensional beings. There's no explanation for how come everybody sees them and we can't find any evidence of them other than, you know, that one thing in Russia in 1952 where all those guys were. There's no animal that could have done what was done to them that we know of. But they've been there forever and nobody's ever seen them. So I think they're transdimensional beings. So my theory, I think, is that. But the problem is, where did the first bunch of mass come from that created the first dimension? Right? We still don't have the answer to that. So we're still in the land of faith.
Or queer space.
Queer. Oh, man. We're in queer space. All right. Well, we're coming up on our next break. This is Common Law. I am your host, Arthur Beislein, here with my good friend, Jill Fueling, talking about something that actually neither one of us had intended to talk about. It literally occurred to me when I was asking her about what she did. And we haven't even talked about what we brought her to talk about, which was archaeology, which is good because that's as boring as watch the paint dry. We'll be right back.
Lanikay Realty has a new luxurious lakeside home, 2.3 acres near Sandpoint on Comeback Bay. This custom-designed masterpiece offers 3 bedrooms, 2 en-suites, 3 baths, plus a den/office, gourmet kitchen, and top-tier appliances. The attached 5-car heated garage oasis includes an extended boat storage area and workbench deck, complete with hot tub and natural gas barbecue with lake and mountain views. Priced at $2.1 million. See the professionals at Lanikay Realty. LanikayRealty.com.
The North Idaho Building Contractor Association's annual Sandpoint Home and Garden Show, sponsored by Jordan Sales and Service and Leaf Guard, is April 6th through 7th at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Over 70 vendors to answer questions, education stage, food, and a kids scavenger hunt. The first 100 people daily get a free flower. Scavenger hunters can win one of 3 $250 Visa gift cards, Saturday 10 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 3, free with a non-perishable food item for the food bank. See you there.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth. And if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, here with my good friend, Jill Fueling. We've been talking about lambs bred from Jamaica and queer studies. We haven't really talked about growing hemp. I'll clarify. I do believe you grow hemp, correct?
Yes, hemp is a legal classification of the cannabis plant as opposed to like recreational cannabis.
So you probably just hide a bunch of recreational cannabis in there and you're just smoking it, aren't you?
No, I'm licensed legal by the state of Oregon.
Yeah, but you probably are sneaking things in there and just probably you're giving it to the kids, aren't you? Does hemp have any other uses besides...
Besides pretty much everything we can do in the world? Yeah, no, just, you know, plastics, you can wear it, you can eat it, you can live in it, you can get buried in it. You can do everything with hemp. Except live in Idaho.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the farmers at it right there. Yeah, we don't want any government help except the subsidies and help us make sure we don't have any competition.
You know what's sad though? Like, so you know, I've been in Idaho for many, many, many years. And at the turn of the century, I actually met quite a few farmers from the five northern counties. They were all trying to band together to get hemp legalized as a commodity crop in Idaho. And unfortunately, it didn't go anywhere. So,
you know why? Because they're just going to hide marijuana plants in there and get everybody stoned. And we don't want that. We'd rather have you drink 24 Budweisers instead of three and then smoke a little weed and be over it. But even better than that is my favorite part about the whole thing is we are fiscally conservative here in Idaho. Or just stupid. Because let's see, I don't know for a fact, but the last time I checked, the state of Washington's collected roughly eight times as more in tax revenue than they thought they would by doing this. Now, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of people want to try marijuana, but a lot of people don't want to know a drug dealer, which has always been my point. If you don't want drug dealers, decriminalize drugs. I mean, this is just stupid. You know, you mean meth? Like, meth wouldn't exist. Some lunatic in his basement with no teeth breathing these chemicals is not going to compete with Dow Chemical. You know, Dow Chemical is going to come up with something that you can go home, go straight to the moon, and get up the next day and be nails. You know, they're not, you know, you say, well, they had OxyContin and blah, blah, blah. That is because they had to produce something. They didn't intend, well, I think they did know they were going to get people hooked, but the drug had to have some use besides just getting high. And so if you don't have pain relief, then you're just getting high. And, well, God forbid people get high, unless it's on booze. Because the state, of course, makes a lot of tax revenue from that. So anyway, it just drives me nuts. Is growing hemp fun?
It is fun. It's, you know, I never thought of myself as a farmer. I'm an anthropologist. And
farming rocks.
Yeah, exactly. but, you know, I believe in the power of the plant to really kind of save this world. And, you know, whether people want to accept it, believe it or not, we're living in a time of climate catastrophe. And, you know, we're headed down that road further. There's no turning back. And we need to adapt. And so, you know, hemp is going to help.
Yeah, climate change. I watched a show the other day that they were explaining how there were cold-blooded dinosaurs where they shouldn't be, Antarctica. And they said this planet was a lot warmer back then. So that's probably what's going on.
It was a lot warmer. But if you'll notice, there weren't humans then. No. So here's the deal.
The point is it's accelerated. They can look at the ice cores and see what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just accelerated. And it's not going to be a rocket scientist to say you pump a bunch of that stuff in the atmosphere. It's going to do this.
Exactly. And the thing for humans is, you know, as a biological species, you know, we only have a certain temperature range we can live in, whether it's where our food is grown or our bodies themselves. You get too cold, we die. We get too hot, we die. Our food can't grow, we die. And that's, you know, that's kind of where climate change is.
Well, the temperature change range here in Sandpoint right now, I'm not real happy with it.
Neither is my daughter.
It's cold. I love it when winter starts the day after spring does.
Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite too.
Yeah. But lots of good dump on the mountain, I guess, but I'm just too busy to do it. well, let me tell the readers what I get to do. Are the readers? I mean, I suppose some
listeners.
Of you, listeners, whatever. after this, I get to jump in the car and I'm going to drive over to Seattle and I'm going to do an argument in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And the argument's 10 minutes long. And you can't do it by Zoom. So I'm going to drive 12 hours so I can get yelled at for 10 minutes. Should be fun. Interesting deal, though. It's part of this forfeiture case that I started in 2003. And the statute's criminal forfeiture. You know, if you're driving around selling cocaine out of your Corvette, we catch you. We're going to take your Corvette. If we know that you laundered $200,000 worth of money, we can't find the money, then we get a judgment, and then we can execute on your property to satisfy the judgment. This procedure is supposed to take 30 days. That was filed in 2003. It was completed in 2019. Now, Trump likes to say the federal government is, or the DOJ is, you know, corrupt and bad. Well, he's not entirely wrong. That case is an example. I mean, the only reason it got settled is because the prosecutor who I was dealing with the whole time, 15 years, folks, without getting paid. I know I got paid eventually, but that's a longer story than I have time to tell you. It has to do more with knowing how nervous title companies are about things. But what this guy was doing, I mean, the first thing he did, this is a 767-acre parcel. It's that hillside behind Rathdrum. And so it's huge. It's got fields. It's got streams. And this guy, this criminal's wife and four kids were living in a beat-up old trailer on the property, doing nothing, you know, just living. And the first thing this prosecutor does is throws him out on the street for absolutely no reason. And that's in 2004. And then just does nothing, sits on it, you know. And finally, when this little jerk retired, somebody got involved and we got it moving again. And then the end result of the case was I lost. And they were going to sell a $4 million piece of land to pay $1 million in judgments. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said that they could keep the other $3 million. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, folks, to know that if you owe $100,000 on your mortgage and they sell your dirt for $500, they owe you $400. I mean, but nope, the Ninth Circuit said that was fine. So you think, well, how did you get your money? Which I did, because I called the title company and said, hey, he was married at the time. You're selling a half interest in this property. Is that going to be a problem? And they were like, yeah, it's going to be a problem. What do we do? And then I called, the guy who was buying was actually my client. And I called him and I said, hey, here's your issue, man. And I can get you the quit claim from the wife to make sure this thing closes. You can insure title, but not without those excess proceeds. I didn't hear anything for about 2 weeks. And then the United States filed a notice that they were going to give me the proceeds, even though I had lost entirely and I couldn't do anything about it. They could have kept all $3 million. And they said, nope, we're going to give them to you. And so then after that, they paid off. And this property is owned by a trust, not by the defendant. So when they sold the property, they paid off $227,000 of the defendant's, you know, criminal defendant's tax liens. Well, prior to this, he had already been sued by the IRS because of the logging operations on this property, and they thought he owned it and he should pay the taxes, and he won. And the tax court said, no, he doesn't own it. The trustee does. So what I'm going over there to argue now is like, well, because I sued them to get the money back, and the court said, no, the forfeiture court said he owned it. And I'm like, no, the tax court said that my client owned it, and that's what we're going to argue. It should be interesting. I'm looking forward to a drive to Seattle. I was going to fly, but by the time you get there, hour and a half early, hour on the plane, you know, what, you know, and I love airports. Anyway, Jill, anything you'd like to wrap up with, tell the folks listening at home?
Don't ever forget, you're on native land.
Well, in reservations up north, isn't it?
My tribe doesn't have a reservation. We refuse to sign any treaties giving land away.
I wonder what the giant ground sloth has to say about this being your land. How about the mammoth? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, it's hard to judge anybody when you walk up to a giant meaty thing that thinks you're kind of skinny and cute and doesn't run and hide. Well, you know, what are you going to do? Now, a mammoth might be a slightly different thing, but, well, folks, I think that's all we have today. You know, the next show, I'd encourage you to listen. I wrote a show for January, but I couldn't do it because I was in mediation, and it didn't settle, and it was just didn't settle. But the show that I had prepared for that day and that I was going to do today, if Jill didn't show up and derail all this, it's going to be So You Want to Build a House. And it's going to take you through every little thing that I have ever seen. I just gave you one of them, which is understand your contract and don't just do a handshake deal like your dad did. That only makes guys like me smile. But that will be the next show. I don't know if it'll be next month or not. We sometimes take some time off. And before I go, I want to thank the new mayor for telling the city plow crews to use the drop gates so they don't block in our sidewalks and our driveways. A few years ago, they threw in everybody. I was the only guy on the block who had a snowblower could get anybody out of their driveway or their sidewalk because they threw 3 feet of slush And I asked, why aren't they using the drop gates? Because, well, the city manager said, don't use them. They'll wear out. Anyway, they're playing me off. It's time for me to go. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Common Law number 7, letter B at gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next month, or hear you, or talk to you next month.